Welcome back to the Amazing Fitness Podcast. And today we are joined by my man, Sean Cannell. And Sean is not a jacked dude out of his mind. He is not one hell of a muscular dude, but that is where I want to go with this podcast. I don't want to be bringing you guys like only the most jacked dudes out of the world. I want to go more onto the lifestyle side of things. And Sean, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I am a full-time lifestyle entrepreneur, YouTuber, you could say. And I live here in Las Vegas. And I actually am kind of driven by, we don't talk about this a lot in a lot of interviews, but I'm actually kind of driven by this concept of the abundant life. It's kind of rooted in my faith. And that is that I think we should be living life to the full, like to the max, you know, and I believe that any life I've ever had is crushing. Of course, everything is always in process. But like if you've got money, but you don't have your health, I think you still lost. Yeah. You know, if you've got health and money, but your relationships are just devastated, you still have lost. And so, doing the entrepreneur thing. Have a growing team here in Las Vegas. Awesome. And doing a lot of video content to help people build their influence, income, and impact with online video is my mission.
Awesome, man. So can you tell us a little bit more about the lifestyle of an online entrepreneur? Because I imagine it to be a lot of butt down in the chair, doing work, doing the grind. And well, as we know, sitting down a lot, like sitting down eight to 10 hours a day, that is not good for our health. So can you give us a little bit more context about what your day looks like, what you do in a day, anything like that?
Yeah, it's a little bit different now. I'm a little more established now that I have a team and whatnot. There's different seasons for every entrepreneur. And so In 2015, around October, I launched out as a solo entrepreneur and was doing everything basically myself, as probably a lot of people listening, you know, have to do it at certain stages. Definitely. And yeah, you're right. It was a lot of like, even 8-10 hour days. Sitting right here at this desk, and it wasn't, it's not good for your health at all. Even before that, I had a career. I was a marketing director at a church while I was building my influence on YouTube on the side. And especially in my 20s, I'm 33 now, I actually really neglected my health in my 20s. Now though, fast forward, I can actually walk into, we have a pretty big kind of home studio here, a loft out here. Got a standing desk out there. I've got a bike awesome. That I can sit on in front of that, jump on my laptop. And I do still probably work normal hours on most days. We do have total freedom though, so we could do a lot of travel, work on our own terms, work from anywhere we want, which is really nice. It's kind of the dream of being an online entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. And but every day, one of the biggest things I've been doing is typically I'll get up and just kind of do mostly stretching in the morning, besides like kind of morning practices and nutrition. And then a lot of times my workout is coming in afternoon or the evening. And a lot of times that it has to do with a lot of running. I'm ramping up to a half marathon right now, but you mentioned, awesome. Yeah, definitely not jacked. and running doesn't help that. Running definitely leans you out though. And yeah, crazy enough, I actually was talking about though in my 20s, I was neglecting my health, but in the last 2 years, I've probably been in the best shape of my life, dropped 25 pounds. Awesome. Of just like a lot of kind of I just kind of looked like I was the Pillsbury Doughboy a little bit. Just everywhere was a little softer and the tire was happening. So lately we've been kind of ripping that, changing some of that. And I'm working toward that Brad Pitt Fight Club ripped. That's the target as far as the physique goes.
Awesome, man. So a little bit more of muscle to put on and just getting after it.
Absolutely.
Awesome, man. So, yeah, I have this question that I ask like every single one of my guests, and that is, what does the word fitness mean to you?
Fitness is the foundation. That's what it means to me. And I wish I would have learned that sooner, as I mentioned, but actually a huge mentor in my life that has really impacted this is actually Chalene Johnson. And she's a real business mentor, but I actually think she's also has sold the most fitness programs out of anybody. She has the Guinness Book of World Records for that. She invented Pyo, Shalene. So she's been with Beachbody and has done a lot of different programs and infomercials. Mm-hmm. So anyways, obviously fitness is a big part of her life. And she really helped me understand that the foundation is fitness development. And then from there, it's personal development and working on your mindset, your confidence, you know, and your skills. And then from there, it's business development. And then it really goes in that order. And I think a world-class individual, world-class entrepreneur has those things locked in. They're working on their fitness development, their personal development, and then their business development. And all of those things feed each other. But if you don't have your health, then those other two are going to suffer greatly. Even if you're experiencing massive success in those other two areas, you would just be experiencing more if you could get your fitness right. And I think I've been learning that if you don't make time for your health now, then you have to block time for illness later.
Yeah, definitely. You said it well. I mean, I have this saying that I live by for like the last 5 years of my life. And I told you, I'm only 19 years old right now. So I've been living by this sentence for like ever since I was 14. And it's like, if you don't control your fitness, if you don't control your health, I don't care whatever the hell you have in your life, but you're not in control of your life to me.
Yep, I agree.
Definitely. And you know what? It is, how do I put this? We see so many people in entrepreneurship trying to make it. But if you look at the top of the top of the top, like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, all of those guys, they are in shape. They know how to control that. And like you said, it is taking control of your fitness first and doing everything that you want to do after that, but getting your fitness in check first. So what I want to talk about is, how did you actually manage to get your fitness in check? Because you said in your 20s, you neglected it. You neglected the hell out of it. So what was the changing moment for you to actually get after it, set some goals, and chase them?
Yeah, I think, you know, they say that the only reason we change is like sometimes you have to be uncomfortable or upset. You know, I think maybe you have heard the story of Arnold Schwarzenegger early on, you know, looking in the mirror and constantly self-evaluation. And I think actually disgust is a good thing to be motivated by. And I think around the time when I turned 30, I was looking in the mirror and I was just being like, man, what happened? Like, I don't look like I did when I was 21, when I was actually pretty active and doing like athletics in high school and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing was like, man, I want to look different and I also want to feel different. And so for me, I started to run. And what I discovered pretty quick too was that it was a great thing that I think I got addicted to it pretty quickly, which is an awesome addiction, because they talk about like the runner's high. And what I discovered, and when I first got out there, my cardiovascular system, and from like sitting and editing video for 10 years and not being active, was like terrible. My like lung capacity and breathing and all that stuff. But I would just get out of jog, walk a little jog. And, you know, recently just did a 5K and now still wouldn't even consider myself world-class runner at all, like not even close. But I can throw down a lot of miles at like, you know, like a mid 8 minute pace per mile. And it's become like not challenging at all. But what I found was, I found that I built momentum. I started to feed off the results I was getting, not just physically, but also mentally. I've had some of my best creative ideas. It got me away from social media. I'd stress just would disappear. I feel more energized, more vitality overall. It gives me time to think and really, you know, build through things and catch up on things. And people in my life have noticed the difference in my energy and how present I could be and how much I'm showing up. And so I think that I'm glad I started. I think I started because of disgust, you know, and just wanting a different future, and realizing that if I wanted the future to be different, then I needed to do something today to make the future different. So I started to take action. And then since that time, I think been a devotion to learning. I mean, it's funny, but like I read Runner's Magazine, and then I'm also doing things like, you know, kettlebells has been a big one. I'm not on this journey of trying to get like jacked, if you will. So studying Tim Ferriss a little bit, and you know, he would recommend in the 4-Hour Body. Yeah, it's a great book. Tools of Titans, great as well.
Definitely.
You know, that like the lowest, he always talks about like the minimum amount of work required for results. And he said, if you can only do a couple things. And so that's why I got into some kettlebells.
Yeah. I'm actually over time, interviewing Bet Flynn. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Chronicles of Strength. And he's like this kettlebell dude who's huge on kettlebell complexes. And he's just an amazing dude. We already did a podcast, but I managed to fuck up the recording. So we're re-recording that. But yeah, like you say, finding the minimal effective dose, if essentially, is what a lot of entrepreneurs need. And it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger type of stuff. It's not picking up 500 pounds. It is doing something every single day that makes you a better person, that makes you healthier, that makes you happier, that makes you more clear mentally. And if that's running for you, for other people it's like deadlifting, for other people it's like kettlebell complexes like we talked about. I think doing something towards our health every single day is a must to be somewhat successful in life, right?
I totally agree. And I think the other aspect that has been huge for me has been nutrition. And of course, there's plenty of people listening and yourself, you know, that are experts. And I would still consider myself, you know, a total amateur, but I do read a lot, you know, I study a lot. And so whether that's, you know, doing some stuff with BCAAs. I've got a friend who Nick Byerly, awesome guy, $1 billion body. He's got a lot of training out on just like natural ways to boost your testosterone. And, you know, a little bit of supplementation and protein and different things like that, plus just overall diet and health for mental focus, as well as gains and things like that. So that's been a huge piece as well. And then just staying disciplined. And I think I love the quote that kind of motivates that nothing tastes as good as being healthy feels.
Yeah, definitely.
And I've really found that lately where I just, more than ever, and I was just actually thinking about this like just the other day, that there's a certain state that I want to be in, especially once you've been in that state where maybe your mind is clear and your body is energized. You feel rested. Sleep's another one that I've been paying attention to, Ariana Huffington's Sleep Revolution. And so, yeah, I mean, every area that kind of all stacks. And I think a lot of what I'm pursuing lately is that state where I'm productive, where I'm vibrant, where I'm energized. And that's probably the biggest thing. You said minimal effective dose. A lot of the actions, the behaviors, I'm loving life and I'm loving running and I'm loving those things. But a lot of it is just, what do I need to do so that every day I'm in the right state to lead, to be creative, to come up with fresh ideas and innovation in my business, to be present for my family and relationships. And so it's the pursuit of that state from a sleep standpoint, a nutrition standpoint, a fitness standpoint, a de-stress and rest and margin standpoint, and just trying to do all those things. And I haven't got to figure it out at all. I'm always trying to learn, and it's going well.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I think it's Tony Robbins. I read it in Tools of Titans. He always talks about mental state first, everything comes after that. And I think what you said, nutrition is a big role. What you put into your body, it's all, how do I put this? It's like what you put into your body dictates what you get out of your body. And it's especially mentally. I mean, when I drink out, I don't drink alcohol anymore, not for the reason for health benefits or for anything like that, for muscle catabolization or something, nothing like that, just for my mental state. I mean, when I drink alcohol, 2, 3, 4 days after that, my mental state is still like, what happened to me? And like you said, it's pursuing that mental state of being healthy, like eating healthy, sleeping enough, eating enough calories. That is what we essentially should all be after, right?
I totally agree.
Yeah, it's just amazing what a healthy body can achieve. And I mean, there's so many people out there who either don't want anything to do with fitness, nutrition, health, anything like that, or just don't know about it. So how do you think we should motivate people to be more aware of their nutrition, health, fitness, all of that?
That's a huge question.
It is.
You know,
it's a very deep question, right?
And I don't even know if I have the answers. I mean, I know here in America, there is, you know, an obesity epidemic and a general just health epidemic also, whether that's, you know, prescription drugs. And certainly there's a time and place for some of those. But what we're seeing in America, even just addictions to substances of any kind or whatnot, like the overall, you know, health is not great for most people. And saying that too, we live in the information age. So there's more information of even best practices and what to do than ever before. Mm-hmm. And yet there seems to be less application of that information than ever before. So I don't know. I mean, you'd be the expert on that. I think personally, it's also a weird balance because for people who are not into fitness or not in that mindset, nobody also wants to be criticized or told what to do. So it's a huge question of how do you reach people. So for me, if you were asked like what, because I definitely am passionate about it, and I'm passionate because I care about people. It's like I love my friends, my family,
definitely.
And I want them to experience those same benefits. I'm like, guys, like my life is revolutionized since, you know, my thinking, all these things we've been talking about. Like you're gonna be happier. Like depression, like that's one thing Shalene Johnson talked about. She goes, I actually have a drug that is better than any of these drugs you could get prescribed. It reduces depression. It increases creativity. It sculpts your body. She goes, and the drug is called fitness, you know, like, and by the way, you could do it for free. And by the way, the side effects are not only not harmful, they're like amazing, but how do you reach people? You know, I don't know. The way I try to do it is just try to lead by example. I think that any leader that proposes to lead other people, they have to lead themselves first.
Definitely.
And so you definitely want to practice what you preach. And so I hope to be doing that and modeling that. And then for some people are never going to change. And there's almost like nothing worse than unsolicited advice. But hopefully if you're leading by example, then that's a magnet to some people would say, how'd you do it? How'd you get the results? Or what are your secrets? And that example that you set can kind of pull some people that would maybe want to figure out your information so that they could apply it themselves.
That's some awesome, awesome advice that you just gave out, man. I mean, practicing what you preach, that's big. I see so many people on Instagram, on YouTube right now just saying, I do this, this, and this. And then at the end of the day, they just put some steroids in their body and they grow. I mean, I think that's a thing as well. We see so many like extreme bodies on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. And people say, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to get into the gym because X, Y, and Z has told me like I'm gonna look like this if I start lifting, and if I start deadlifting I'm gonna get huge in like 3 days, and that is just not what is gonna happen, people. If you're listening to this, that is not what is going to happen. Lifting improves your health, it builds up your muscles, it reduces stress, it does anything that Sean just talked about, and it is not gonna get you huge in 3 days. Trust me. Just trust me. So, Sean, one question for you. How do you push yourself to actually get out there and get a workout in? Because at the end of the day, it's hard. Working out is hard. And so many people say, like, getting to the gym is the hardest step I have to take. But for me, it's like, I just pick up my keys, step in the car, and head on out to the gym. It's literally a no-brainer for me anymore. So how do you push yourself to actually get it done, get it out of the way, and just get after it?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I mean, I think creating there's actually probably a lot of life things that I've picked up over the years from different mentors and whatnot. Mm-hmm. One is trying to pull out as many resistance points as possible. And so One is actually could just be like getting your gym bag ready or laying your stuff out. And so the days where I've got all the gear ready, even down to the point of like your Bluetooth headphones and like your fitness tracker is charged, like just the intentionality, if you at least know the day before what you're going to do the next day, and this applies to every area. Like when I have my planner ready for the next day, when I have, you know, that all laid out, that is massive. That alone could just be the key, because there's so many things and then I'm like, where are my headphones? Oh, they're not charged. Oh, whatever, you know? And one of the things that I also maybe should have mentioned earlier, as far as that really motivates me, is I am very passionate about personal development. I love podcasts. I love audiobooks. I also love music. And so the chance to get on, and some people even think long runs are boring. One of the reasons why I actually like long runs is because I can actually listen to a lot of content that otherwise, it's the multitasking of it. If I'm here, I'm going to get to work. If the computer is just going to suck me in, I got work to do, content to put out or whatever. But it gets me into a state where I can be thinking and absorbing the stuff that I want to learn. There's so many books I want to read. There's so much great stuff out there, because I'm always wanting to learn about marketing, business, mindset, or just current events or news or things I haven't learned about before, hearing about all these different things. So that's actually a huge motivator for me. When I look ahead, I think about some of the pieces of content that I want to listen to today at the gym. And I'm like pumped, because that's like it's like a prize. It's like a reward at the end of the day. So there's that. And then I think the other thing I learned this from one person was just to set these micro goals. You mentioned you just get your keys, you get in your car. And it's like from there, it's like the object's in motion, and an object in motion stays in motion. And then you get to the gym. I heard one guy, he put it this way. He said, instead of like, if you wanted to start a practice of flossing your teeth, write down a goal or set a goal to just floss one tooth.
Yeah.
Make it like super, just say the don't, cause, oh, I don't want to, who wants to floss, but could you floss one tooth? And that sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the point is, once you get it out, you do one tooth, you just go, all right, I quit. Or you could probably keep going. What are you going to do? You're going to probably keep going. So the way that I look at it is, I want to get my keys. Right now it's really hot in Vegas. I normally run outside, but I'm at the gym all summer here. And so I just need to get there, and I just hit that 2 mile button on the treadmill. And so things start moving. And even if I feel like crap and I don't want to be there, just the blood flow and the breathing that starts from that warm up, 5-10 minutes later, my psychology and physiology has actually changed. And that's like, now I'm pumped. Mm-hmm. And so there's something about taking that first step, and that can go for working out or even just tackling that thing you're procrastinating on your business by just getting started, that push to get started. I think even Mel Robbins' 5-second rule would apply here, because it's that thing. You're in bed. Should I go to the gym? 5, 4, 3, 2, get in the car, man, and just roll down there. And it's like, once you're in motion, then the rest can follow in. So if I am training for this half marathon, so if I need to throw down 8 miles, I don't think about I need to throw down 8 miles. I think about I just need to start my running warm-ups. So what do I need to do next? Not run 8 miles. What I need to do next is put my shoes on and just start my warm-ups. And I usually feel great after those. They're like, I don't know what you call it, like not just static stretches, but in motion stretches.
Warm-ups.
Dynamic warm-ups. Once I start those, I start feeling good. I'm vibing. I'm having fun. And then the next thing is like, now I'm pumped to run 8 miles and I can go out and do it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, a lot of people just are down here at this mountain of this mountain called fitness. They're just down here. And the only thing they see is that body that they want to chase up here. But they don't see the little steps that they got to take in order to climb that mountain. And that is an analogy that I use a lot with a lot of my clients, and to just say like, yo, you don't need to do everything right now. Starting with one thing today, doing the next thing tomorrow, doing the next thing tomorrow, just crushing it every single day will make you achieve your goal. And I've been really, really big into Andy Frisella's podcast, the MFCEO Project.
Yep.
It's just such an amazing podcast. And he always talks about his, what's it called? His power planner or something, power list, with 5 things that you got to achieve on that day. I started to adopt that, and I've been crushing my days, like literally crushing. And I make sure to make one of those five things fitness related. Either it's workout or meal prep or one of those things. And if you can do that in your life as well, I mean, fitness is not going to be a hassle for you anymore. It's just going to be one more thing on your power list. And your power list, as we all know, we got to achieve what we put onto that power list. We got to get it done. And if you are into the habit of like getting all of those things done, it'll be easy for you at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely.
So we talked a lot about energy in this podcast, and I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, because at the end of the day, energy is the resource for everything.
Yep.
Right? So how do you think you keep your energy levels topped off during the day? I mean, for me, it's like 8 p.m. right now, and I'm still rocking and rolling. But how do you do it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, and I've actually been thinking about that concept of energy first, because that's the big missing piece, especially because I coach a lot of people who, you know, they want to turn their dream job. They want to be able to leave their day job and do their dream job. They want to turn their creativity into a career, but everyone's going to side hustle.
One hell of a job, right? It's going to be
one. It's super challenging, especially because usually if you want to build a side hustle, well, you have to work 40 hours or 45 or 50 hours a week. So what do you need? Well, the missing ingredient is not even necessarily your vision or your passion, because you're like, maybe I want to blog, or I want a podcast, or I want to start a YouTube channel, make money online, or even start a brick and mortar business. Mm-hmm. But you want to do it when you already have 40, 50, 60 hours of work a week. And that's when I built it. I built everything that I built on the side. So energy was a big deal. And so, and then even to continue to accelerate fast, you need energy. So sleep is probably the biggest foundation. And I think, definitely, you know, all this research is coming out that I've learned that not only am I more creative and more energized and more focused, and I have more willpower and more discipline when I sleep enough, but also that I'm also just happier. And with the unrested Sean is like, does not, I heard this, tired eyes rarely see a bright future.
Yeah.
So
it gets you into like that negative state of mind. If you slept for like 3.5 hours, like, I don't know how Gary Vee does it, but
yeah. Well, that's a good thing you bring up, but he mentions he's consistently getting 7-8 hours. He says that. So
he's getting six. I mean, I had Jordan on the podcast, and he's like, it's just a machine.
About six. So, well, even six is probably like not even terrible for some people. You got to figure out your own wiring.
Like we said in the beginning of this podcast, find out your minimal effective dose, stick with that, and do your shit in the day.
And you know, for me, to be honest, I sometimes will go 7 and I'm fine, but I might go 8, 9. I mean, again, I actually have total time freedom. And what I've realized too,
you
like
could
sometimes
do 16.
I could do whatever I want. And so, but a lot of times, even some work days, I'll notice like if I hit the afternoon and I'm tired, and this is probably one of the practices as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have total flexibility and freedom. I could take a power nap. And if my productivity and creativity drops, I don't want to just keep grinding and trying to do that. I just go, I need to change. And I might go work out, or I may sleep, because then I just come back. I'm like, might as well. Like, this next 5 hours is going to be suck, you know, productivity wise. Why not even take, and I'll go long too. I might do an hour nap so that then the next four just crush and I feel refreshed. Awesome. So, but for energy, yeah, sleep for sure. And then morning practice, the book I love and I recommend is The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod.
Definitely.
I really absorbed pretty much, I kind of created my own, but I pretty much followed that book to the T as far as a morning routine. That
I
changes
really
my energy.
Read that, actually.
It's Thanks really good. My energy and my mindset. And then I just get to work. Breaks nowadays, I just got quite a few practices. I'm trying to do walks.
Walks. You know, I'm really big at that as well.
Steve Jobs would, you know, do walking meetings and whatnot. I try to get in between 3 to 6 walks, and I bring water with me on that journey, just walk around here. And that every time, that's like a reset of my energy, my breathing again, if I'm sitting at this desk grinding constantly. And then also I eat super lean throughout the day. So I'm actually very, very healthy, very lean, but breakfast and lunch is kind of low calories, because when I'm sort of in a more, you know, fasted state, when you're digesting a lot of food, you get tired. And that's a lot of times when that slump would hit. When I worked at a normal job, everyone would want to go out to lunch. and we just go someplace and you eat like a burger at 12 o'clock. And dude, you're in a coma the rest of the day. Like my day is shot if that's what I'm doing. So like that's for my cheat day, or that's for my off days. But I usually keep it really lean during work days, and then I'll start winding down at night to maybe eat a bigger dinner. And then I drink coffee. I've scaled my my caffeine way back. If I drink 3 cups of coffee in a day, that's like I'm crazy. That's insane. That's crazy for me. But a lot of times it's like maybe 1 to 2 cups total. Sometimes bulletproof coffee these days. But I'm also doing some stuff with like Zip Fizz, MCT oil that I'll throw in there at times. Like in overuse of caffeine, you know, really starts to move into a negative. Plus, I don't want to like fire my adrenal glands and my nervous system and just crush it all. But yeah, so I try to 3 cups of coffee is like a lot for a big day, but most days maybe just 1 or 2. And then I also try to really avoid drinking caffeine around sleep for that effect of how it could affect sleep. But yeah, other things in the day as well. I mean, sometimes I'll do like some Zip Fizz and B12, some different vitamin stuff, MCT oil and smoothies. It's a lot of different things to try to get my physiology and nutrition solid to be effective and productive all day long.
Awesome, man. Yeah, that is literally what I do as well. Only then, caffeine use is just way up there right now. I mean, I probably need to sleep a little bit more. 6.5 is what I normally do right now. And then upon waking up, I wake up at 5 like every morning, just crush it. And literally one of the first things I do is get myself some coffee, because I think it's just like a habit of mine to just get a coffee whenever I wake up. I think I could do without, but for now I just want to get my coffee in the morning. And whenever I feel like I get an energy slump, it's just an automation of myself to like run down, get a coffee, get back up. But I'm scaling back on that a little bit. Like I had a time where I had like 8 cups of coffee a day when I was in college. I had to like wake up at 4 some days to get in college, attend all of my classes, and then get back home and then trash business, right? And it was just so taxing on me. So at that time, 6, maybe even 8 cups of coffee a day. But like you said, that is not the best place to be in.
Yep, I agree. I've been there too. I'm 33 now. And so as I think about my longevity, I don't want to grind on too much caffeine or anything like that, but try to have a little bit more balance because, man, I'm in this for the long haul. Definitely. I'm ready to be better at 70.
Awesome, man. So the last question that I have for you today, what's next for Sean Cannell and Think Media TV Video Influencers? What's next?
Man, we have a lot of cool stuff coming out, putting out tons of videos, just a lot of content to help people, you know, build their income and increase their influence using online video. Mm-hmm. We have digital courses that we're working on. We're launching a book, Benji awesome. And I from Video Influencers, coming out quarter 1/18. Doing a lot of, in 18, doing a lot more speaking and traveling. So we'll awesome. Probably be a lot of places around the world that year. It's starting a little bit in 17. And just excited, excited to help people. Our vision is to help 10,000 people completely turn their creativity into a career, to just go full time with a business and a life that's completely around their terms, tapping into the power of online video. And so happy to report that we've had a few already, like because of people who have gone through some of our content, they've been able to completely transition their day job into their dream job. And it's very, very exciting. So we're just going to do more of that, keep grinding. And then, personally, half marathon's coming up November 17th. Awesome. And so that'll be a first for me. And I want to keep doing those more too. And because of having some YouTube influence, it's kind of cool because we can tie it into some video and even some brand deals and working with different companies that are wrapped into that space. So I am excited to get more into, I have my Sean Cannell channel as well, not super active there, but on that channel, there's some like green juice videos or kind of like fitness videos or products. And so that's something that I want to get into over the years. Like I said, it's more of a document, rather than pretend like I've made it, because clearly I haven't. But as I am unpacking this, the power of fitness, health, nutrition for the entrepreneur, man, I'm obsessed. And I believe Definitely. That people could double, triple, 10x their results if they get those things right and add those things to their life if they're not there. And it makes such a huge difference to the impact they make in the world, to the relationships around them, that I also want to you know, spread that message a little bit as well as model that. I just want to live it myself.
That's inspiring, man. It is. And you know what? I think that is a great note to end this podcast on, don't you think?
I agree.
Is there anything you want to say to the people that have stuck with us for 35 minutes?
I mean, the last thing that I would say is for those that are listening that are maybe thinking about, building their influence, you know, online, and they're thinking about, you know, I think there's only three ways, right? Or there's three main ways. Either you're really good at writing and then you'd blog, or you're podcasting and that's audio. Mm-hmm. But if you have a passion and a thought of getting into video, I would say now's the time to do it. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. A recent Huffington Post article said that 3 to 5 billion new people are coming online between now and 2020, and that's going to cause a surge to the global economy unlike we've ever seen. The CEO of YouTube just announced that there's 1.5 billion active logged in monthly users on the platform, and they're watching over an hour of content per day just on their mobile devices. So the platform is healthy. Video is everywhere. Instagram's doing video. Facebook's doing video. I think that if anyone is thinking like, hey, can video help me grow my business? Of course, you know, and can it even be a business in itself? It can. And so I would really recommend, I mean, I'm seeing these things and there's this window of opportunity right now to leverage online video to really increase your influence. And I don't know how long it's going to be as open. It's kind of crowded now, but it is just starting. So I would definitely recommend that people just go all in, get that fitness right, but then grind on your purpose, your passion, your business, your brand, and use the power of video. And that's what channels like Think Media and Video Influencers are there, is to help people figure it out so they can get maximum results.
I'm super grateful for those channels to be around, man. When I was just getting started, and I mean, I only have like 65 subs right now, but hey, it's a starting point. And you definitely helped me getting my shit together and just starting it. Just, I was like, yeah, YouTube is crowded, this, that. And then I found myself, it's just bullshit excuses. Yep. Get yourself a camera and just get after it. So, Sean, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I truly, truly appreciate it. I think we should do one longer form podcast somewhere in the future, because this was like 35 minutes. I think we could have gone on for like another 2 hours, right?
I agree. Yeah, let's definitely do one in the future. Appreciate you, Dennis. I love what you're doing to inspire people, help them with their fitness, because it's impacting people's lives. And I appreciate the good that you're putting out into the world.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. So anyone listening right now, thank you so much for listening. And Sean and I are out.